What's it like to be black in the fifth whitest major city in America? Not a simple question. The black population in Seattle hovers around 7%, well below the national average. It's a population that has shrunk as Seattle has grown in the last two decades. Tanya Mosley explores that demographic shift in part one of our series, Black in Seattle.
I was recently invited to a party at my friend's house off Lake Washington. The sun was out, there was a nice breeze in the air, everyone was dressed to the nines. Kids were running around and laughing, and old friends were catching up with each other. By the end of the night, there were close to 200 people here. In Seattle, it's rare to see this many black people in one place. Too bad. It takes someone moving away to get us all together. My friend Benita is moving to Charlotte, North Carolina.
So, Benita, why are you moving?
Because I want to expand my horizons.
Expand her horizons?
I need to be in a place where more African Americans are ascending to positions and doing things that's more positive, and you find a lot of them, not just a couple of them.
Benita is my third black friend this year who says Seattle just isn't enough. Not enough black people, black men, she's single, or opportunities. Her move magnifies a larger issue that plagues the black community in Seattle. After 35 years of living here, Benita still feels like an outsider. And really, when you look at the numbers, she is. Depending on what part of town you're in, you can go days without seeing another black person. For people like Benita, that's just not enough. But for every black person who decides to move away from Seattle, there are others who have chosen to stay. Margaret Harton is one of those people.
A lot of people call me Margie for short, and I am 102 months, I guess.
Yes, you heard that right. Miss Harton is 100 years old, and she is a lightning bolt of energy.
The Lord left me here for some reason.
Miss Harton moved to Seattle from New Orleans in 1926 to work for a white doctor's family, ironing handkerchiefs and answering phones. She was 14. After her work with the doctor ended, Miss Harton was here in Seattle, 16 years old and alone.
It was just me and the world.
She quickly found an extended family through the oldest black church in the city, First AME. And even though she didn't know many people at first, just about everyone she met in the black community was friendly and willing to help her get on her feet.
For us, we were a little closed society, more or less.
Most blacks back then lived in central Seattle. Restrictive covenants excluded them from areas like Queen Anne, Green Lake, and Magnolia. And outside of the CD, well, it was a different world. Ms. Harton remembers the first time she tried to get a job downtown.
One thing that I remember and that hurt me to my heart, the Bombashay at that time needed a maid in the beauty shop. And I wanted that so bad because I needed a job. But they didn't take you if you was too brown.
Decades later, after being denied positions at department stores in the front of the house as a clerk or seamstress, Harton went on to become a supervisor with Seattle Public Schools Transportation Department. She and her husband bought a house in the black neighborhood at 28th and Republican. She's lived there for 50 years now. Today, it is hot property.
School. I wonder who that would be.
As we chat at her dining room table, we're interrupted by a man at the door asking Miss Harton if she's interested in selling her house.
Has that happened to you before?
Yeah. Well, they send letters.
How many times has that happened to you?
Well, quite a few. Quite a few times. Because there's nobody in here but me. And he said he didn't believe I was 100.
She has no plans to sell. Over the years, however, some of her black neighbors have taken offers. Others just couldn't afford to stay. And now, on her block, her neighbors?
They're all white. I'm the only one in the neighborhood. There might be a lady down at the end. I haven't seen her lately.
Central Seattle is an ideal location. It's a few miles from downtown, and a quick hop onto I-90 can get you to the east side in minutes. So as Seattle became home to international giants that employ hundreds of thousands of people, the demand for housing in the Central District grew. For working-class blacks, it was tough keeping up with the rising cost of real estate. So families spread out to more affordable places like South Seattle, Renton, Tukwila, and Tacoma. The Central District is now gentrified, and unlike other major cities, there really is no black center or black part of town. Many black families are now finding inventive ways to connect with each other.
Did you guys finish cleaning up downstairs?
It's a lazy Saturday morning at the Nowak home in Edmonds. In a few hours, April will take her daughters Camille and Simone out for a play date with other brown girls in the area. They're part of a national invitation-only group of black mothers called Jack and Jill.
When one of my best friends joined, I thought, oh my gosh, can you get me an invitation? And she's like, oh yeah, next, you know, once a year the invitations come out, and we were invited to join about 8 years ago.
April is now the president of the local chapter. The goal of Jack and Jill is to offer support and strengthen the connections between black mothers and their families. April moved here from Chicago 16 years ago to work for Boeing. Today, she's constantly receiving emails from other black families relocating to Seattle for work. The number one question, where are the black people?
A lot of the companies, God bless them for the diversity that they are bringing into the Puget Sound area, but they have to also remember that if the kids aren't happy and the wives aren't happy, or you're recruiting a black executive female, and you're bringing her to a community where she's going to have a hard time getting her hair done, I don't care what kind of money you're putting on the table, that's a hard sell. I could probably point to 10 families who may or may not have, they might have come, but they might not have stayed had they not had the community support that we provide just by the basic necessities that everybody else takes for granted.
Take Naomi Truitt and her family. They've been a part of Jack and Jill for 11 years. On this night, we met at the 55th anniversary of the Seattle chapter.
There's not very many brown faces out where we live,
right,
in Port Orchard.
Naomi's husband, Roland, works for the Naval Shipyard in Bremerton. Most of the activities for Jack and Jill, like on this night, are in Seattle or Bellevue. And so, a few times a month, they take the hour-long ferry or drive around so their three kids can hang out with other black children.
And we've tried to commute all the way from Tacoma back and forth to Bremerton. It's just a long drive. That's not something I'm willing to do, but I'm willing to commute and drive all the way around the peninsula just for the Jack and Jill activities because I see the worth in it. I want them to experience black culture year-round, and if we have to import it, that's what we have to do.
My friend Benita was part of Jack and Jill for years. She tried to connect in other ways, too, joining black groups, even starting groups of her own. But she says in the end, she was just tired of having to manufacture a black connection. It's been 7 weeks since she left for Charlotte, North Carolina. I decided to call to find out if leaving Seattle for Charlotte was worth it.
Hello.
Hi, Benita. It's Tanya.
Hi. How you doing?
I am well. How is Charlotte treating you?
I really like it. I think it is really a nice place.
Do you miss Seattle at all?
No. The folks here, my God, everybody is just incredibly nice, and they seem to be very accommodating.
What advice would you have for maybe somebody here, another black person who's feeling like, I just can't make this place home?
Leave.
For decades, black people have been doing just that, leaving the city limits of Seattle in the rearview mirror and leaving the ones who stay to find each other. For KULW, I'm Tanya Mosley.
Find tweets about this series at hashtag Black in Seattle. Funding for Black in Seattle was provided by the KUOW Program Venture Fund. Contributors include Paul and Lori Ahern and KUOW listener subscribers. To hear stories from our series or to learn more about the Program Venture Fund, go to KUOW.org.